played video games? Do you play them every day, once in a while? Well, if that's you, today's episode is for you. Let's talk about whether the relationship between video games and the brain that we have been told multiple times in today's society is negative. We have normalized referring to video games as something that has negative effect on the behavior of young people and children who play them. Given this, there have been strong debates about whether there is a correlation or not. But here we will talk about what is almost never debated: the structural and functional changes on the brain as an effect of video games. Not only general opinions, but as always, based on studies, we will break down this relationship. So let's take a look at the benefits that video games can bring in terms of cognitive functions. However, to understand the above, we must know that not all video games are designed in the same way, and the possible effects of the game depends on the type of video game it is. For now, let's focus on action video games and their benefits. First, it makes attention more efficient in its different branches, such as selective, focusing on simple stimulus or task, divided, attending to several tasks or stimuli at the same time, sustained, concentrating on a task before starting to make mistakes, and attention control and speed information processing are also more effective. Second of all, perspective skills improve. This helps the perception of the world and visual perception to be also improved. Spatial skills are optimized, benefiting visual information processing involving spatial relationships. And finally, cognitive control abilities such as multitasking, task switching, proactive and reactive inhibition, which is preventing previous learning from interfering with the new learning, and short-term memory are improved thanks to this type of video games. We can see all of it reflected in a 2009 study of the University of Rochester, where volunteers who played the action video game Call of Duty were compared. These individuals experienced an increase in the contrast sensitivity of their eyes. This is the ability to distinguish changes in the brightness of an image. So this opens the door to the discussion that begins to evaluate the possibility of using video games as a way to correct vision defects. However, we need to understand something essential so that we understand why these improvements take place in the brain and consequently the modification of its structure. This something is brain plasticity. I open quotes. Brain plasticity refers to the ability of the nervous system to change its structure and functioning throughout its lifetime in reaction to the diversity of the environment. Although this term is used today in psychology and neuroscience, it is not easy to define. It is used to refer to changes that occur at different levels in the nervous system, like molecular structures, changes in gene expression, and behavior. Close quotes. This is the definition that is indicated by the research platform Cognifit. So basically, yeah, neuroplasticity allows neurons to regenerate both anatomically and functionally, and form new synaptic connections. Neuroplasticity represents the brain ability to recover and restructure itself. This adaptive potential of the nervous system allows the brain to recover from disorders or injuries, and can reduce the effects of structural alterations produced by pathologies such as multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, cognitive impairment, Alzheimer's disease, dyslexia, ADHD, adult insomnia, childhood insomnia, among others. To realize this, about 116 studies have been made in recent years, with the participation of the University of Ovarta of Catalonia, Spain, and the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, USA, stands out. Both institutions have determined the way in which the structure of our brain changes when playing video games, the changes that are generated, and how they allow development to improve the aforementioned cognitive capacity. According to the findings, these modifications are registered in the following areas: frontoparental network, which is activated in tasks with a high demand of attention; cingulate cortex, involved in selective and divided attention; ventromedial prefrontal cortex, for information processing by attending to stimuli that are relevant to achieve of a goal; entorhinal cortex for spatial orientation, right hippocampus region, which is involved in mental representation of objects, mental manipulation of objects, spatial orientation, and spatial memory. Occipitoparietal network, which controls visuomotor performance. Dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, which contributes to improving executive functions and the performance of attention-intensive tasks. And orbifrontal cortex for working memory. On the other hand, games can become a risk factor at the moment when they begin to occupy most of people's time. That is, when a child stops going out, socializing, eating, and sleeping well, it is an alarming sign. Since the intention of many video games is to stimulate the networks and parts of the brain associated with addiction and the reward system. What we must take into account is that many times they achieve it. These games aiming to add users and their online activity may be opening the possibility for excessive gaming, which will lead to generate an addiction not healthy for the mental and physical health of the person, but also the excessive stimulation of the caudate body. The caudate body is an area of the brain that tells us when to eat, drink, or have sex. It is stimulated by the game and leads to make more use of this body than the hippocampus. This can lead to the hippocampus to lose cells due to the lack of use, and finally, atrophy. This brings me back to the second point of the research system conducted by the Universitat Oberta de Catalunya, Spain, and the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, USA, where in addition to those positive changes in brain structure already mentioned, that led to the conclusion that playing video games could make the size of your brain get bigger. We move on to the somewhat worrying changes and consequences. So, throughout methods of morphometric brain analysis, such as volume-based gray matter (GM) measurements and imaging investigators, several structural abnormalities have been revealed in the brains of adolescents. This reported reduced GM volumes in several areas of the brain cortex, implying a negative impact on the hippocampus of habitual action game players. Over the years, a decrease in gray matter has been associated with an increased risk of developing brain disease, from depression to Alzheimer's disease. However, we now turn to other types of video games. As mentioned at the beginning, different types of video games mean different effects. Strategy games showed increase in gray matter in the right hippocampus, right prefrontal cortex, and cerebellum. This translates into improvements in cognitive function in specific regions of the participants' brains. In addition, for this type of game, players require cognitive skills such as pre-planning and attention to detail necessary to complete the level. So long-term exposure to these games has been linked to an increase in gray matter in the right prefrontal cortex. That is the part of the brain where planning, decision-making, and social behavior occur. In addition, a study from the University of London examined the results of psychological tests of people who had played strategy video games such as StarCraft or The Sims. The results revealed an increase in the cognitive flexibility of the participants. And this term, we are going to look into this because it is defined by Cognifit as follows. Open quotes. Cognitive reflexibility or mental flexibility can be defined as our brain's ability to adapt our behavior and thinking to novel, changing, or unexpected situations. In other words, cognitive flexibility is the ability to realize that what we are doing is not working or has to stop working, and therefore we must adjust our behavior, thinking how to adapt to the new environment and situations. Based on this, the researchers suggest that these games might also help with attention or hyperactivity disorder and brain injuries. Moving on to another case, researchers at the University of Iowa conducted a study where they had two groups of older adults age 50. With the first group, an effect was evidenced in volunteers over 50 years old who play for at least 10 hours a month a video game in which they had to drive a car. It was possible to see how the decline of their cognitive abilities of the older adult participants was halted, making their brains stronger for up to 7 years. The control group, group number two, who did just crossword puzzles did not experience these improvements. Starting another discussion, it seems that everything depends on the time spent playing video games. This was proven by the team of German neurologists who studied 23 people playing the video game Super Mario 64, half an hour a day for 2 months. MRI scans revealed that gray matter had increased in the hippocampus, prefrontal cortex, and cerebellum. Those are parts of the brain responsible for spatial perception, memory, strategic planning, and motor coordination in the hands. This makes video games a possible therapy for patients suffering from neurodegenerative diseases, specifically those that cause these parts of the brain to shrink, such as schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, and Alzheimer's disease. A new discussion to consider. Wow! Now, in closing, I would like to talk about why I personally don't consider gaming to be the problem. Although some claim that they make children or teenagers more violent, an example of this are the shootings in US schools carried out by their own students in many cases, and that are justified by the media and by most of people because of video games. That games like Grand Theft Auto or GTA made them violent and led them to commit these atrocities. However, if we look at it that way, then all countries with high rates of young people playing video games will have high rates of violence. But that is not the case. In fact, a country more consumed by video games than the United States is Japan, and gun deaths are almost unheard over there. So, to prove this, a study was conducted on 90 young people who played GTA or The Sims, and then underwent on MRI scanner to measure the level of empathy, that which will supposedly be lost by playing a lot of video games, but along with desensitization to human suffering. So this was done while they were presenting with images of someone hurting the hand, so to measure the reaction of the people, of the young people, to this fictitious person. And to the surprise of many, the reaction to the pain of others was the same in all participants, regardless of the number of hours spent playing video games. Finally, I just want to open the discussion and hear about you, about what each one of you think after evaluating the studies. So tell me, what do you say? Let's play video games?